Hello, everyone. What is up? Welcome once again to the Jay Seronka podcast. Today, we are talking about the movie The Two Popes, which is in Netflix. Hopefully, this movie would be in Netflix in the foreseeable future at the time of recording, which is June 2, 2020. It's, of course, still in Netflix. This was released in 2019. It's a biographical drama, but I think that's, you know, the word biographical, that's kind of a big word. Throughout the course of this review, I'll talk about how the writer came out or came up with this story. This movie is directed by Fernando Morales and written by Anthony McCartan. Fernando Morales, he has some little known but critically acclaimed movies on his belt, such as City of God, City of Men, and The Constant Gardener. Anthony McCartan, he is the screenwriter of this movie. He actually worked on a couple of movies that you're quite familiar with and you might have already seen, such as Bohemian Rhapsody, The Darkest Hour, The Theory of Everything. He is a screenwriter for all those three very popular movies. These are all high profile and critically acclaimed films. I may have actually a new favorite screenwriter with Mr. McCartan. He is, you know, he is doing some good work for the world of cinema. The performances of Jonathan Pryce and Anthony Hopkins, as well as the writing of Mr. McCartan, received high praise from critics, and all three men received nominations at the Academy Awards, the Golden Globes, and the BAFTA Film Awards. The Two Popes was adapted from McCartan's play. Yes, this movie started as a play titled The Pope, which premiered at Royal and Derngate Theatre in 2019, predominantly set at the Vatican City. This is during the aftermath of the Vatican leaks scandal. We're going to talk about that later on as well during the review. And the film follows Pope Benedict XVI, played by Anthony Hopkins, as he attempted to convince Cardinal George Bergoglio, who is played by Jonathan Pryce, to reconsider his decision to resign as an archbishop, as Pope Benedict confides his own intentions to abdicate the papacy, or the papal position. As always, for this movie, we are going to cover three things. We will have a non-spoiler review, which is great for all of you who hasn't seen the movie. And then we're going to go to a spoiler review, which I will signal by saying spoiler alert three times, because this is, of course, the review and recap of the movie, and we're really going to go into a deep dive. So yeah, definitely spoiler alert. And finally, the all-important Jace ratings. What is my overall score for this movie? And we're going to compare that to the scores given by Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, and Metacritic. So let's do it. Let's dive right in. Before we start, please do support my podcast. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. Also, the best way you can support us is please give us a direct donation via PayPal. This will be a very big help for us. Any amount would do. The PayPal donate link is in the description page of this episode. This is now the non-spoiler review for The Two Popes. This movie has the feel of a really good indie film, which is, you know, it's not for everyone. Anytime you have a movie like this, if you are a fan of more popcorn style summer blockbuster movies, you know, popcorn flicks, if you are into visuals and, you know, action and special effects, this movie may not be for you. If you are into deep emotional dialogue driven movies, then this is something that you might enjoy. I think this movie is
for Catholics and non-Catholics alike, I think even for someone who's an atheist, anyone can find enjoyment and life lessons from this movie. I think it shows the contrasting point of view of the leaders in many religious organizations, or generally many organizations. It also shows that maybe the best religious leader is someone who is not perfect and someone who has been through a lot and someone who is willing to compromise with the rest of the world instead of sticking to their guns and sticking to what has been done for centuries. However, that is the end of my non-spoiler review. So this time I am going to say spoiler alert, because this is now the spoiler review of The Two Popes. So the movie starts in April 2005. Cardinal George Bergoglio, obviously, spoiler alert here, we now know he is currently Pope Francis in the real world. Back in 2005, he was the Archbishop of Buenos Aires in Argentina. He is called to the Vatican City after the death of Pope John Paul II to elect a new pope. We see Cardinal Bergoglio holding mass outside of what looks like a pretty big slum area in Buenos Aires. And then we, at the Vatican, we see the process of the papal conclave. This is where the cardinals around the world convene to elect the Bishop of Rome, also known as the Pope. We see how the conclave is done. Cardinals cast their votes. It is read out loud. There was someone, for some reasons, sewing the votes together and burning them. The media is not allowed inside the conclave, and that is why everyone, including the devout Catholics and the media, right outside, you know, the Vatican, they wait outside to see if black smoke or white smoke will come out at the top, at the roof of the Vatican. Black smoke means we don't have a pope yet. White smoke means they already have elected a pope, and the pope will come out and do his first papal address. He's going to come out of the Vatican. It's definitely going to be an exciting time. Yeah, definitely exciting for all of us Catholics. Of course, full disclosure, I am Roman Catholic my entire life. I was raised Roman Catholic. In a way, this conclave, this entire process is way more exciting than the typical elections, because, of course, during the elections unfold in front of our eyes. Even the early return ballots, from the earliest return ballots up to the 100% of votes casted, we see it on TV. You know, it's going to be their show. They'll show, for example, 5% of votes have been counted, and, you know, so far this candidate is winning, and, you know, and of course that's going to reach until 90%, 100% have been counted, until we get our winner. And early on, once we get to the 80%, 90% mark, we already have a winner for the elections. Imagine if they do the elections like this. You know, it's complete silence, and then just like you wake up the next morning and this guy is the winner, you know. But again, it's really bad for democracy if they do it like that. It's more exciting, but it's bad for democracy. Anyway, an interesting scene before the conclave actually began was Cardinal Bergoglio at the comfort room or the washroom, you know, depending on what terminology you use in your particular place, in your particular country or city. He was actually whispering the tune of Dancing Queen, and the cardinal beside him asked what song it is. And I like this scene because it shows how cool and worldly Cardinal Bergoglio is, and how out of touch the world, or how out of touch to the world some members of the clergy are, that they don't even know a hit song from the 70s in the year of 2005. And then, of course, we have parts of the conclave. During the conclave scene, parts of that had Dancing Queen as the background music. As I mentioned, I have been raised Catholic here in my country, the Philippines, but even I have not seen the conclave depicted in film. Probably I haven't seen a lot of, you know, movies set at the Vatican. But even before the conclave, we have scenes that really depicted the themes of this movie. For instance, we see a lot of the classical beauty and luxury of the Vatican. I don't know if it was Cardinal Bergoglio's character or someone else who delivered the line, something like, "Our church in Rome are too beautiful, but they are empty." It is obviously directly opposite to Cardinal Bergoglio's mass in Buenos Aires. The mass didn't even have a church. It was outdoors in the slum area, but it was fully packed. And that's obvious. Even if they didn't show the scene, they mentioned it, that, you know, we have some beautiful churches in Rome, and actually not just in Rome, but in many parts of the world, some beautiful churches, but they are empty, and, you know, that's sad. Whereas we have fully packed masses on slum areas, such as, you know, the place where Cardinal Bergoglio held his mass during the start of the movie. When the cardinals were having lunch, Cardinal Bergoglio and the other cardinals beside him talked about how he could become Pope. Cardinal Bergoglio denied it and didn't want the position. But one of the cardinals said something about Plato's quote. This is not a direct quote, but it's something like, "The best leader could be someone who does not want the job." By the way, this did not bother me that much, but the actor who played Cardinal Bergoglio and eventually Pope Francis is the, you know, great actor, excellent actor named Jonathan Pryce. And I am actually a big fan of Game of Thrones. I don't know if you fellows are. And for those who don't know, Jonathan Pryce, the same actor, played an evil religious leader in Game of Thrones who was actually truly scary and the character that you would definitely hate. It's just amazing that he played this role perfectly. He played this, you know, Pope Francis / Cardinal Bergoglio role perfectly. And personally, as a big fan of Game of Thrones, I did not see the evil religious leader aura anywhere in this film from Jonathan Pryce. So thank you, Mr. Pryce, for doing that. Anyway, the cardinals also talked, you know, we're still in that sort of lunch scene. The cardinals also talked about the other front runner to become Pope, who is Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who they said maybe wants the leadership too much. Cardinal Ratzinger was, of course, played by no less than Sir Anthony Hopkins, the great Anthony Hopkins. What I love about Anthony Hopkins is he always brings his star power and gravitas in every role, that you are so captivated with his performance, especially with the performance he is currently doing in front of your eyes, and you don't see the characters that he played in his other iconic roles in the way that he is acting right now. Because again, it would be super weird to see glimpses of Hannibal Lecter in the character of Pope Benedict XVI. And then we have a scene, we see Cardinal Ratzinger. He was sort of going around a few tables with the other cardinals discussing relevant issues inside the Vatican. He actually talks like a professor, or maybe more apt, he talks like the aspiring student council president. And maybe the other cardinals were right. Maybe the Mr. Ratzinger, he's presented as someone who's very smart, somebody who's really qualified to be Pope, but maybe he does want the job so much. Then eventually, of course, after the conclave, German Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger is elected Pope Benedict XVI. Cardinal Bergoglio receives the second highest vote count. They purposely showed the jewels and the fancy shoes that the Pope should wear as part of the tradition during the inauguration of Pope Benedict XVI. And then we go to 7 years later, the Catholic Church is embroiled in the Vatican leaks scandal. These are leaked Vatican documents exposing alleged corruption, blackmailing of a homosexual clergy, power struggles inside the Vatican over efforts to implement greater financial transparency and compliance with international norms to fight money laundering. And there's also some death threats against Pope Benedict XVI. The scandal escalated in May 2012 when the journalist... I hope I am pronouncing this correct. The journalist Gianluigi Nuzzi published a book titled His Holiness, The Secret Papers of Benedict XVI. This consists of confidential letters and memos between Pope Benedict and his personal secretary. This is a controversial book that portrays the Vatican as a hotbed of jealousy, intrigue, and underhanded factional fighting. The book also revealed details about the Pope's personal finances. As you can see, Pope Benedict's tenure has been tainted by public accusations regarding his role in all this problems and scandals that are haunting the Vatican. Cardinal Bergoglio submitted his resignation as Archbishop, but the Vatican has not responded, and so he decided to go to Rome and personally deliver his resignation, but he was summoned to Vatican City. Cardinal Bergoglio and Pope Benedict met at the Palace of Castel Gandolfo. This is the summer residence of the Pope. Beautiful place, by the way. The debate between Pope Benedict and Cardinal Bergoglio is the meat of this movie. This is also, you know, many of the trailer moments that you see. It came from this scene. They call this a biographical drama, but it is, for me, it's more of a reimagining of how the conversations went down. The writer, the screenwriter of this movie, McCartan, worked on this story by researching the positions of Pope Benedict, who leans more conservative, and Cardinal Bergoglio, who leans more liberal. He, of course, first wrote a play, which eventually led to his screenplay. There were many notable points in their debate, and this review could never give it justice. If you have been listening to this review up to this point and haven't really seen the movie, please watch this movie if you haven't yet. I mean, some of the points I remember were Pope Benedict XVI said something like, "God cannot change, he is God." Cardinal Bergoglio said, "We have to adapt to the times. We don't change God. We compromise. It feels like the church does not belong in this world anymore. Yet they have to lead 1.2 billion believers today and in the years moving forward." And then Pope Benedict XVI said, "Compromises change." One of the lines I liked in Pope Benedict's that Pope Benedict asked is, "If God changes, where do we find God?" And Cardinal Bergoglio replied, "We find God in the journey," something like that. One of the memorable lines in their conversation was actually in the trailer. The two wandered in an area of the garden that they are both not familiar with. Pope Benedict said something like, let's go over there. Maybe we can find God there. Basically, they debate the roles of God and the church. That evening, the two met at the chambers of Pope Benedict XVI. Cardinal Bergoglio learns that the Pope likes to eat alone, and he only meets his cardinals wearing the full cardinal attire, and he actually learns that the Pope's favorite TV show is Commissar Rex, which is a crime show about a dog and a team of cops or agents or something. Cardinal Bergoglio mentioned to the Pope that he likes to watch soccer, but Pope Benedict said he does not understand the appeal of soccer, and, you know, he doesn't understand the appeal and the hype, not even the World Cup. You know how when you want to have your parents or your boss sign a document, but you don't want them to read it, so you try to be sneaky and like you put the document or the paper on a table and tell them, oh, you know, please sign this, it's nothing, it's just whatever, you know. Cardinal Bergoglio actually tried that. He tried to pull this trick by placing his resignation papers on a side table beside the Pope. The Pope stared at it, but ultimately ignored it. Cardinal Bergoglio recounted his early life and path into the church. He actually ended his, he was actually engaged to be married and joined the Jesuits. He met Father Franz Jalix and Father Orlando Iorio, who became his spiritual friends. Pope Benedict rejects Cardinal Bergoglio's resignation, saying that the world would perceive it as a vote of no confidence in his leadership and ultimately weaken the Catholic Church. Pope Benedict and Cardinal Bergoglio put aside their differences and chat informally, gradually warming up to each other. This is when Cardinal Bergoglio shifted gear and tried the more friendly approach. He learned about the music album that the Pope released, or, you know, he brought up that topic that the Pope actually released an album. The Pope even recorded it in Abbey Road, same as the Beatles. I don't know why, but I actually laughed out loud when the Pope asked the Cardinal if he owns a copy of the album. And then when Cardinal Bergoglio said yes, Pope Benedict said, if you have it with you, I can sign your album. And then, of course, the two watched the Commissar Rex crime show with the dog. The next day, the two go to the Vatican by helicopter. The background music was Bella Ciao, to my surprise, you know, made me happy. I'm a big fan of Money Heist. Anyway, by the way, I reviewed all the episodes of Money Heist or La Casa de Papel. I'm going to link it at the description page of this episode. Anyway, Pope Benedict XVI continued to avoid discussing Cardinal Bergoglio's resignation. Pope Benedict meets with Cardinal Bergoglio in the Room of Tears within the Sistine Chapel, where he confides his intention to resign from the papacy or the papacy. Of course, Cardinal Bergoglio was shocked, and he actually objects and argues for the church's tradition and continuity. Apparently, it was actually, get this, 700 years ago, 700 years ago, the last time a pope resigned. That was actually one thing that, or one of the things that fascinated Anthony McCartan about this story, and, you know, something that really made him want to write this play. Pope Benedict said his opinions regarding traditions are different now and believes change is essential. Pope Benedict said Cardinal Bergoglio could be his successor, but Cardinal Bergoglio rejects the idea. This is the point of the movie. This is the point where the movie got really serious and really devastating. as we go into a flashback of a young Cardinal Bergoglio as he recounts the events that happened during 1976 and onwards. Apparently, there was a perception in Buenos Aires, or maybe in the entire Argentina, that he had collaborated with the Argentinian military dictatorship, and his failure to protect his friends and confront the junta may have damaged his reputation. The military dictators in Argentina, 1976, were so strict that they required the absolute banning of Catholic masses. I don't know what, you know, if they banned other, you know, any other religious gatherings back then. And they completely banned some books, like books about Marxism and books about psychoanalysis. People who oppose the government will suddenly just disappear. One of Cardinal Bergoglio's closest friends disappeared. His two friends at the clergy, at the Jesuit order, Father Yalex and Father Yorio, they were captured, they were tortured for 4 months, and thankfully this was not shown. They said, or Cardinal Bergoglio said, that their hands were broken when they were released. According to Cardinal Bergoglio, what he did at the time was he compromised. This seems to be a very important word, if not the most important word for the cardinal. It is also a principle that he lives by. He did it to save the lives of the other priests and members of the clergy. During this movie, he said that was really his priority, to keep the priests, you know, the members of the church, members of the clergy, safe and alive, at the very least, during this military dictatorship time. The military dictators will not bat an eyebrow to kill anyone, actually, you know, members of the church and civilians, if they broke any of the laws that was implemented by the dictatorship. This period has been known as the Dirty War in Argentina, and an estimated 30,000 people died or disappeared. There were two very traumatic scenes in this movie. One was when Father Yalex and Father Yorio, they were caught still conducting a Sunday, you know, Sunday Mass, a hidden Sunday Mass. They were dragged like rag dolls out, and I thought the military were going to kill them at that point. And the second traumatic scene for me was the military rolling corpses from a plane down into the sea, and the Coast Guards even complained that there was too much body in the water to handle. Following the Dirty War, which I believe ended in 1983, so that's, you know, 7 years, Cardinal Bergoglio was removed as head of the Argentinian Society of Jesus and exiled to serve as an ordinary parish priest to the poor for the next 10 years. We saw scenes of him washing dishes, and I think he was aiding an older priest, like in a nursing home. Over time, Father Yalex reconciled with Bergoglio. It was very heartwarming, you know, it was a very heartwarming scene when they conducted Mass together and embraced each other like brothers right after the Mass. However, Cardinal Bergoglio regrets never reconciling with Father Yorio. Memories of his actions and inaction during the dictatorship continually haunts him up to this day. And Pope Benedict confronts Cardinal Bergoglio, reminding him that the freedom to choose to help can make any other person suffocated or frozen in fear or inaction, implying that several members of the clergy could have died if he did not do what he did. ultimately, Pope Benedict XVI gave Cardinal Bergoglio absolution. They then went into a smaller room, which I'm not sure, but I believe it's called something like the Purity Room, something like that. It's a very beautiful room that is all white. I'm a minimalist, so this is the kind of thing that I love, you know, like rooms that are pure with very few furnishings. Very minimal, but very beautiful furnishings, may I add. Pope Benedict requested a confession from Cardinal Bergoglio. The Pope whispered to the Cardinal, and us, the audience, we weren't meant to hear what he said. But then, through Cardinal Bergoglio's dialogue later on, we, the audience, were made aware that the confessions of Pope Benedict was, he confessed that he was aware of one of the priest's long-term sexual misconduct, and he regretted staying silent. The Pope mentioned that he was praying one time and he blew the candle out, but the smoke went downward instead of up. And the Pope took this as a sign that he no longer, he no longer hears the words of God and affirms his wish to abdicate it. Or, I don't know what, I forgot actually his exact terminology. It's not, like Anthony Hopkins' character, Pope Benedict, he was explaining something like, he compared praying into like a cell phone signal or TV signal or something, and he said something like the signal is blurred sometimes. Presumably, if you're not spiritually pure and you're praying to God, sometimes the signal can be poor and blurry. And that was sort of the analogy that he gave. And that was the analogy that was coming up here, that, you know, he was praying one time and he blew the candle, and the smoke of the candle blew downwards instead of upwards, and he sort of took that as a signal that, you know, his quote-unquote signal for the prayers is not that clear anymore. And of course, this is his reason why he wants to abdicate the papacy, or the papacy. Another scene I loved in this movie was after these confession scenes. Cardinal Bergoglio asked one of the Pope's bodyguard to buy a local pizza nearby instead of eating the usual Vatican cooked food. This also implies a change in the Pope's values, as he is now willing to share a meal with someone. By the way, let us not judge Pope Benedict XVI for wanting to eat alone. I myself am an introvert. I have eaten my share of meals alone. It's just something that we introverts love to do from time to time. So yeah, it's, you know, let's not judge again the former Pope for wanting to eat alone. They also drank what looks like green soda, which I'm sure is not good for either of their health. Especially Pope Benedict, who is obviously ailing at the time. I think he was definitely walking with a, you know, with a cane already. Don't worry, at the time of recording this podcast, which is again June, the 2nd of June 2020, Pope Benedict XVI is still alive. He is currently 93 years old. Another scene I liked is apparently someone has to taste the food of the Pope before he eats it. Cardinal Bergoglio offered to take a bite on the Pope's pizza, but the Pope refused to have the Cardinal take a bite. I'm pretty sure if a scene like this or anything like this happened in the real world, Cardinal Bergoglio would definitely take the bite for the Pope, you know, for safety reasons. Cardinal Bergoglio comforts Pope Benedict XVI and offers him absolution as well. The two emerge from the room, surprising tourists, and then Pope Benedict XVI goes out to greet the masses and take selfies with them. To the surprise of his bodyguard, maybe implying that this is not something that he usually does. And then, after this scene, Cardinal Bergoglio departs once again for Argentina, but before leaving, he and the Pope danced some tango. I think that the genius of Pope Benedict XVI was this conversation happened 1 year before he delivered his resignation to the world, giving the would-be Pope Francis ample time to be prepared. And it wasn't like, oh, I'm resigning today, you'll be Pope tomorrow, see you later. It wasn't anything like that. So he gave his intentions to the Cardinal, and, you know, 1 year has passed, and presumably Cardinal Bergoglio, who is now Pope Francis, will be now, you know, fully prepared once he takes over the papacy. Cardinal Bergoglio is elected. Of course, we go again to the scene of the conclave. And then Cardinal Bergoglio is elected as his successor in 2013. And he becomes Pope Francis, who is still, at the time of recording, the current Pope. On his inauguration, Pope Francis, and this was, honestly, this was a scene that made me tear up. I mean, I don't cry a lot, both in movies and in real life, but this scene really made me tear up. Pope Francis did not want to wear the accessories and the jewelries and the obviously expensive, fancy red leather shoes, which is apparently a tradition for popes. He decided to wear his plain white cardinal clothes and, you know, whatever shoe he was already wearing at the time. By the way, he still wears this attire today. And that is, you know, what he wore during his first papal address, you know, when he came out for the first time at the Vatican as Pope Francis. And then, guess what? This one has an end credit scene. But what is great about this movie is it was not an end credit scene that happened after the credits. It was happening during the credits. And so, at least, we did not have to wait. And so, the two popes watched the 2014 FIFA World Cup Finals between their two countries, Germany and Argentina. Pope Benedict XVI said he understood the hype now. I think they even watched the game with pizza and beer. Germany won the World Cup that year, and the two popes congratulated each other, and that is how the movie ends. Before we continue, once again, please do support my podcast. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. Also, the best way you can support us is please give us a direct donation via PayPal. This will be a very big help for us. Any amount would do. Our PayPal donate link is in the description page of this episode. And now we go to my overall score for this movie. Jay's ratings for the two popes is 93%. IMDb gave this movie a score of 7.6 out of 10. Metacritic gave it a score of 75 out of 100. And Rotten Tomatoes gave it a score of 89%. While the users or the audience of Rotten Tomatoes gave a score of 88%. For more movie and TV show reviews, please follow or subscribe to my podcast. Once again, thank you very much for listening. See you on the next episode. I love you all. Bye-bye.